Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor David Pate.
I want to read two Psalms. It says in Psalms 37, 39, "But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble." See, God is our strength. And Psalms 27, 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Who shall I be afraid?" We serve a strong God. God is strong. He is our strength. That is where our strength comes from. But I want to read two more verses to you. One comes from Ecclesiastes 7:20. It says, "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." And then Romans 3:23, of course, says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." You know, God is strong, but man is weak. God is strong, but people are weak. We live on this earth with fallen, imperfect people. And you know what fallen, imperfect people do? They do fallen, imperfect things. Why? Because they're weak. They're not God. God is strong, but people are weak. And our theme this year is we want to grow stronger and stronger. And do you know why we need a theme of growing stronger and stronger? It's because people are weak. We are weak, and we need to grow strong. And that's what we're going to be doing all this year. But you know what? I don't care how strong we grow as a church. I don't care how much we grow in the Lord. Do you know we'll never be able to measure up to His strength? We will never reach the capacity of His consistency and His strength and His perfection and His almighty power and His wisdom and His sensitivity to our needs. We will never, ever reach that because we're weak people. In fact, this last summer, I took our girls to the Jesseville basketball team camp, and this is very serious. Team camp is very serious, and whenever I coach, it's all business. And sometimes I tend to lose all reality, and I tend to get really focused on the game. Feelings are out the window because we're doing business, especially in a junior high girls team camp game that has no significance whatsoever to the outcome of the year. It is very serious business. Well, you know, coaching junior high girls, they don't throw out all reality, and they don't throw out all emotion. They tend to keep that right there. And this last summer, I was coaching very well, I might add, and I asked one of our girls to change from playing guard defense to post defense, and I said, "Hey, I need you to go play post defense." And she looked at me and she said, "What's post defense?" And I said, "It's defense in the post." And she looked at me a little more puzzled. And I was getting frustrated. We're having this dialogue, and the more I talked, the more she looked frustrated. She just locked up on me. And I said, "Post defense." And I lost all reality. You know, I was screaming, I didn't think anything about the crowd. Well, as I was screaming at her and encouraging her very sternly, all she could think about were all the eyes that were on her and all this kind of stuff. I didn't find out till 3 months later that was the most traumatic, tragic experience of this girl's life as she walked me through the torment of all the fans seeing her. And I said, I didn't think of that. I didn't see it like that. But what she learned for the first time ever in her life was that her coach is a weak person, that her coach misses it from time to time. And you know what? We all miss it. But you know what's awesome? God never misses it. God never misses it because He is perfect. We all miss it from time to time because we are imperfect. And my title today is Strong God, Weak People. Strong God, Weak people. And I have a question as we begin today, and it's something I really want us to think about and emphasize. And my question that I have for us today is, what are we looking for? When we come to church, when we walk in the doors of this church, what are we coming into church looking for? When we go to school, when you go off to college, when you walk into the classroom, when you walk on campus, what are you walking on campus looking for? When we're out in the community, when we're in Walmart, when we're out to eat, when we're out shopping, when we're in the community, what are we looking for? Are we looking for perfect people? Are we looking for everyone around us to treat us perfect and make every decision that is perfect and every talk and every communication is perfect? What are we going to work looking for? Are we looking for perfect coworkers or a perfect boss? What are we coming home looking for? Are we looking for all of our relationships to be perfect? See, it really seems like we've become more and more petty as a society. We are making more and more of a big deal, and I believe the reason is because we are looking for perfect people instead of realizing all we have on this earth are weak people. All we have on this earth are weak people. But today, everything is a thing. Everything is an issue that we have to discuss, and we need to talk, and I'm frustrated, and we don't realize that we live on this earth with weak people. Why are we doing this? Why do we make an issue out of everything? I really believe it's because we're looking for weak people to be our strong God instead of looking for our strong God to help us impact weak people. I want to read that again. I believe we are looking for weak people to be our strong God instead of looking for our strong God to empower us, to help us to impact weak people. You know, it's easy to get frustrated when we expect the wrong things from the wrong people. Unrealistic expectations are always the source of frustration. See, if I'm looking for people at work to be perfect, then you know what I'm going to be all the time at work? I'm going to be frustrated. If I'm looking for Melissa to be perfect, then Melissa and I are going to be frustrated with each other all the time. Why? Because she's not God. She may be my goddess, but she's not God. Been out of town for 7 days and win points. Anytime we're looking for things to be our little gods, you know what we're doing? We're creating little disappointments. We're creating little disappointments. See, we serve a strong God, but we live on this earth with very weak people. See, what are we looking for? When we walk into this church building, when you walked into this church building today, did we come to church looking for God? Or did we come to this church looking for people? Because if we walked into this church looking for people, we're going to leave church today very disappointed. But if we came to church today looking for God to do a work in our hearts today, then we're going to leave church here impacted. Wisdom, encouragement, healing could come to our hearts. See, when we're looking for people, then the things that we say out loud are, I came to church, but no one noticed me. I came to church, but no one spoke to me today. See, I came to church, and no one knew that I was hurting. But you know the awesome thing is, God knows that we're hurting. And if you come to church looking for God, then you are going to find healing and restoration because He sees you and He knows you, even if no one else around you knows you. And see, no one else can because we're weak. And no one is perfect. See, we say to ourselves, I've been in this church a while, and no one has become my friend. No one visited me in the hospital. No one came to my event. I post on social media, and no one at church noticed my post of what I was going through. No one in the congregation, no one congratulated me on my marriage. Are you hearing me? See, we have weak people in church, and if we're coming to church looking for weak people instead of a strong God, we're going to leave church very unsatisfied. See, some people come to church looking for people to do something in their lives instead of coming to church looking for God to do something in their lives. See, God wants to do something in your life, not only in church, but on a daily basis. But if we're looking for people to satisfy us, we're going to be a very frustrated Christ follower. We got to quit trying to make people our God, and we got to make God our God. If we're going to serve a strong God and live with weak people, we have to constantly remember that people miss it. People miss it. People don't pay enough attention to us. But do you know what? We miss it too. We all miss it too. Not only does everyone around us miss it, but we miss it too. And if we don't realize that maybe we're trying to make weak people our strong God, we're going to quit church. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to look through a lot of churches to try and find the perfect one. You know, the only perfect church is the one that you visit. Because the longer you stay somewhere, what you're going to discover is there's a lot of weak people in that place. See, we'll all hate the people we work with. We'll all hate our school and the leaders there. We'll be frustrated in every relationship we have because it's not going to be long before you realize every relationship has fallen people in it. I want to encourage you today, if you're hurting and no one notices you, don't look to God, or don't look to people to heal that hurt. Look to God. See, what happens is we all struggle with being preoccupied with self. We all struggle with being preoccupied with self. See, people don't always notice us because everyone else is preoccupied with themselves. And see, I'm preoccupied with the fact that no one noticed me, but the reason that no one noticed me is because they're preoccupied with what's going on in their own lives. We're all preoccupied with self. And the quicker we realize that, the quicker we are not going to be unsatisfied. But you know, we live in a fallen world. And we're all trying to get the mind of Christ. We're all trying to get the eyes of Christ, and we just don't have it. People are going to miss it. There's going to be times you come into church. There's going to be days that you miss church and people didn't notice. No one called you. But see, if we're looking for weak people to satisfy us, that will frustrate us. You know, even for me personally, when I get done speaking, I know that every single person in here had their life changed, their heart was healed, they were so encouraged, and I know that they really genuinely want to come up after service and tell me that. But I also know that they have lunch to cook, they have places to go, and so I just settle into my heart that they loved it, their lives were changed, but they have to go. And so I take solace in that. I really, really do. And so do never feel the pressure to come up because I know and just brush it off as no big deal. See, why do we all have this need to be loved all the time? It's because we're incomplete. We're incomplete. See, we're born with this massive incompleteness. We're born with this massive need. In fact, we're all born with a heart problem. We're all born with a spiritual heart problem. We're all born with a heart that needs to be filled, and we're in trouble when we start looking to other people to fill that need in our hearts. We're in trouble when we look to that. But you know what? Something has to fill it. And if a relationship can't, we'll look for something to fill it. We'll look for success. We'll be driven on a daily basis to be so successful that we feel good about ourselves. We'll look for social status. We'll look for some addiction. We'll look for pornography or alcohol or a drug. We'll look for technology or stuff. But something has to fill that heart. But many times what gets us is we look for people to fill that hole in their heart. You know, the only thing that can fill the hole in each and every one of our hearts is a strong God. That's it. That's it. Only a strong God can satisfy us. Right now, if you're in school and you're looking for a strong teacher, you need to quit because there isn't one. The only thing you have in your schools are imperfect teachers, fallen people. Well, I think they should have handled the situation different. They definitely should have. They definitely should not have yelled post-defense at the top of their lungs. But you know what? If that's the only time they miss it, that's not too bad in my book. I don't think that's all that bad. But they're weak people. They're not God. And we've got to quit walking into every room looking for that room to revolve around us. People can't meet our every need. Only God can do that. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. See, as people, we have needs, but we got to quit looking for weak people to meet the needs. Only a strong God can. But you know what the awesome thing is? When we start to realize I don't need people, I only need God, it actually frees us. It actually frees us to love and help people, because see, now I'm in a relationship here and I can be a help in this relationship. Why? Because this relationship isn't my God. See, I can learn from my teacher. Why? Because I don't need them to be perfect. I can work with my boss. Why? Because I don't need them to meet my needs. God is doing that. See, I'm here for my friends. I could be here for my friends. See, I'm free to help the people around me. Why? Because I don't need them to be my God. I could be polite to this waitress here who's having a bad day. Why? Because I don't need her to be my God. God is my strong God. How do we do this? How do we follow a strong God and live with weak people? Because this is easier said than done. It's easier when someone is screaming on the sidelines of your life post defense. It is easier to say, I do not need this moment. I love God and can try and figure out what this yelling man is saying here. I want to throw out five keys for us to help weak people. I want to throw out five keys for us to help weak people. If we make a strong God number one in our lives, how do we live with weak people? Number one, we got to get stronger. Do you know, as we grow and mature, it's a whole lot easier to be around weak people? You know, I think about people I've known for 10, 11, 12 years, and our relationship is better today than it was 10 or 11 or 12 years ago. You know why that is? I've grown. And the more I mature, the more I grow, the easier it is to live with weak people. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all people. See, it's amazing what happens in a relationship when growth happens. It's amazing what happens in a friendship. It's amazing how you can work for anybody the more mature. You know, when we were young, we used to think, no one's going to talk to me this way. But the more we mature, we're able to be tougher and walk through difficult moments and get along with weak people. Why? Because we are stronger. The first key to help weak people is we have to get stronger. The second key to working with weak people is we have to give grace. We have to give grace. Matthew 6:15 says, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, without grace, relationships can't exist. Without grace, relationships can't exist. Why? Because I don't care what relationship you're going to get in, you're going to need to give grace to somebody. You hang around anybody long enough, they're going to make you mad. They are going to frustrate you. And without grace, without forgiveness, that relationship cannot stand. And so if you are someone who routinely does not forgive others, you are someone who routinely moves from relationship to relationship, friendship to friendship, church to church, job to job. Why? Because you're looking for weak people to be your strong God. But do you know what? The ultimate relationship cannot exist without grace. Without God's grace, we have no business as an imperfect people being in relationship with a perfect God. So grace is the basis for all relationships. And if we are going to be on this earth, if we're going to be in a church full of imperfect people, and that's exactly what CMC is. We are a church sitting here today full of very imperfect people. And the only reason we can exist in this church is because we give grace. And we're going to have to constantly give grace. We're going to have to constantly give, well, they didn't talk to me or they didn't notice me. You know, we're a sue happy, prosecute happy culture. And we're looking to prosecute everyone. They didn't notice me. Prosecute them. They didn't talk to me. Prosecute them. They spoke to my child a harsh way. Prosecute. We got to be grace givers. We have to be grace givers if we're going to get along with weak people. Third one, I believe, is a really, really big one. If we are going to deal with weak people, we have to learn their story. We have to learn their story. You know, when you actually take a minute to have meaningful connections and conversations with other people, you really learn their story. Everyone has a story, good or bad. All of us are products of our past, but we need Jesus to change us so we can have a different future. But it's amazing when you get to know people's story, when you begin to connect with people, you actually begin to get a heart for all the weak people that are around you. I want to challenge you. Do you come into these doors? Do you come into church and never learn the stories of the people that sit in your section and the people that sit around you? I want to challenge you when you come to church to begin to connect with other people. I want to challenge you to go to Connect Group. Get in conversations with people. Learn people. Well, I don't know what to say to people. Let me give you the easiest thing to do. Ask questions about them. We are all selfish and love to talk about ourselves. Now, I never use this tactic on second service. I only use it on the first service people, but I just want to tell you that. But if you want to learn to connect with people, ask them about themselves. Where are they from? What did they do? What did you do this last week? Ask them questions, and then all of a sudden you begin to learn things, and then it'll take off from there. But if all we do is come into church and leave, then we have never made any connections and haven't learned any one story, and it'll be very easy to get irritated with people because we don't know their story. Matthew 9:36 said, when he saw the crowds, he being Jesus, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. See, why did Jesus have compassion for them? Because he learned their story. When we learn people's story, it actually changes the way that we view them. You know, as you connect with people, you just learn things that they've gone through that's just unbelievable. In fact, I learned of a girl not too long ago that had to stop her mom from harming herself. This young girl was in high school and had to physically stop her mom from harming herself. It broke my heart as this young lady was bawling and crying and sharing this story with me. And I thought to myself, this girl should have never had this type of mother-daughter moment. And what it did was it broke my heart for her. You know, as you learn their story, it does something in you for other people, and it makes it a whole lot easier to have grace for them. It makes it a whole lot easier to grow and mature and get along with them. I learned of a boy who had to stop his dad from beating his mom. You know what it did for me? It changed how I saw that young man. It changed how I saw him because I saw what he had gone through. I learned of a boy whose dad had left him when he was young, and he had been 3 or 4 or 5 years without a dad. And you know what that did for me? It made me want to have him over. It made Melissa, we got to have this young man over. I got to spend time with this guy. All because I learned his story. He may have been annoying, but when I learned his story, it flipped that annoying into a need in his life that I could then go and meet that need. See, when you learn people's story, it happens to you what happened to Jesus, is you have compassion for them, and you think in your heart, I've got to help them. I've got to do something. And then all of a sudden, weak people become a ministry for you instead of an irritation to you. I learned of a girl who dressed like she does and chased after boys like she did because she needed a male person to notice her, and it changed my perspective in her life. See, when you learn people's story, your heart begins to break for them, and it puts life in perspective. It never excuses behavior, but it explains it. It sure explains it. I want to challenge us. What if each and every one of us in this room saw everybody sitting next to us as God sees them? What if we saw each and every person in this room as God sees them? What if you walked into your job tomorrow and saw every coworker that you work with as God sees them? What if you learned their stories? What if you start giving them grace? I'm telling you, you might change their life. They might come to church with you. You might be used by a strong God to help weak people. You know, Ashley Ellison read Galatians chapter 6 a few weeks ago, and it really hit me in verses 2 and 3, and I want to read it for you again. It says, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourselves. You aren't that important. Boy, I love that verse. How about coming to church learning you're not that important? I thought we're supposed to come to church to be encouraged, man. I thought we're supposed to come to church to hear that God has an awesome plan for me and I am awesome. Well, Paul is challenging us here. If we don't start sharing each other's burdens, then we're not that important. And we need to start humbling ourselves and seeing that the importance of our life here on this earth is actually but to share each other's burdens. Number four. How do we walk on this earth with weak people? Is we have to become what we need. We have to become what we need. Luke 6:38 says, give and you receive. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. See, it's actually in giving that we receive. But see, we always see it the flip opposite, is that I need to receive first before I'm going to start giving. See, the flesh is a natural taker. That's what the flesh is. But the Spirit is always counteracting the flesh, and it's saying, give, don't take. Give, don't take. See, don't walk into church and be a taker. Walk into church and be a giver. See, don't walk into church looking for others to notice you. Walk into church looking for who you can notice. See, the Spirit is the complete opposite of the flesh. The Spirit says, be a giver. See, if we want people to help us, you know what we got to start doing for other people? We got to start helping them. See, if we need somebody to be a good teammate for us, you know what we need to start being? We need to start being a good teammate for them. See, if we want to be a friend, if we want friends, we need to be a friend. But you know, it's always the opposite. We're frustrated. No one's my friend. No one loves me. This church just is unfriendly. Do you know that you'll have the most friends in this church if you start being the friend of the most people? But see, we sit in the corner looking for others to friend us. See, that's where we're looking for a weak person to be our strong God. If we need forgiveness, what we need to do is forgive the most people. If we want our church to be an outreach, then we need to outreach the most people. See, the flesh always leads us down the wrong road. The flesh always says, take, and you'll get what you want out of church. And God says, give. And you see, if you'll go to your job and start giving, it's amazing how much on your paycheck you'll start receiving. But you know, it's the flip opposite. We want to receive before we start becoming the all-star employee that our boss wants us to be. It's in giving that we receive. And the fifth one is the last one. I really think it's the key in our day and time, is if we're going to get along with weak people, we have to be offended way less than we're offended. We have to be offended. We got to get a little bit of let's not talk about thick skin. Let's just say some skin. We'll work on, you know, small, medium, and thick skin later. Let's just get some skin on our endoskeleton of our life and emotions here. I don't know if you remember the story of David as he was working for Saul. Saul had begun to have mental issues and rage and yell post-defense at all the people in his military, and they hired David to play the harp for him. And I don't know if you remember, but there was a moment where it says that Saul took a spear and it says hurled it or threw it at David, and it stuck in the wall. And I love how the author there helps us, and he says, intending to pin David to the wall. And I was like, thank you for that confusion. I had no idea what the intent of Saul was, as they said, intending. But it says, this happened for a second time. Now, after I got over the weirdness of my boss bringing a spear into my office and then throwing it at the wall, that probably would have been my last day to work there, okay? But David was so tough and so dedicated and so wanted to honor his boss that after the first spear, he continued to be an employee there. After the second spear, he looked for a different job after that. But I thought, here's a guy with thick skin. Here's a guy that's tough. Here's a guy that isn't easily offended. We have to be less offended by others because they're not our God. They're not our God. We should be less offendable because Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. See, we got to get saved and live by the Bible instead of just kind of knowing by this thing. We got to quit just knowing a little bit about the Bible, and we got to start living the Bible and have some thicker skin. But it's okay for us to get over petty differences. It's okay for people to not notice us and us continue to get over that. It's okay to be overlooked and then still continue where we're at. As we bring this all together today, I want to ask us a question. What are we building our foundation on? What are we building our foundation on? Are we trying to build our foundation on weak people? Or are we building our foundation on a strong God? Because even as awesome as our pastor is, and as Mike and I have the privilege of being his son-in-law, we see how awesome that he is. As awesome as he is, no church can build their foundation on a pastor. The foundation has to be built on God. I don't care how awesome your boss is or how awesome your friends are or your teacher or your mates or whatever, your relationship. I don't care how awesome they are. If we don't build our foundation on God, we are going to be majorly disappointed in life. We don't need people. And we got to keep telling ourselves this. We don't need people. We need Jesus. He's the only one that can fill that hole in our heart. He's the only one that can truly fill the void of acceptance. And that's why we seek other people's, because we want acceptance. We need acceptance. But only God can give us that acceptance. And the awesome thing about God is He does see us, even when other people don't. The awesome thing about God is He always notices us. He never overlooks us. And the even more awesome thing about God is if you walked in hurting today, He knows that. Even if the person next to you doesn't, He knows that you needed encouragement today, and He wanted to give it to you today. He knows what we need, and that's why we have to look to a strong God and not to a weak people. I want you to notice the list that I threw out there today. I want you to think about something. Think about the five keys we just went over. Get stronger, give grace, learn their story, become what you need, stop getting offended by everything. Think about those five. Do you know what those five had nothing to do with? Other people. Do you know what those five had everything to do with? Us. All five of those had everything to do with what we need to do to live on this earth with a weak people. You know what? You want to know why? We can't change anybody. Only God can. And the only thing that we can do is be a mirror and be a light and be a replica the best we can of a strong God in order to lead a weak people to that strong God. And so my encouragement, my challenge to us as we look at this list is for us to grow in and of ourselves, not look to grow other people, because that will never happen. And that is how we help weak people. See, a lot of times we think if they will change, life will be better. But you know what? It's not the truth. We have to change for life to be better. We have to change because we could never change everyone in our lives. That's impossible. We could never, ever change everyone in our life. You're going to run into yet another impossible person. That's a practice in frustration. So here's what I want you to do. You know what? If you've gotten in a petty argument with someone, if maybe you have a meeting this next week with someone that's petty, I want to encourage you to cancel it. And you need to get another meeting. It's in your prayer closet. And say, God, give me a vision for this person. God, help me to learn their story. God, help me to know what they're going through. And if we'll have more meetings with God and less petty meetings with people, it's amazing what a strong God can do in our lives to reach a weak generation. As we end today, I want to challenge everyone in here. We serve a strong God, and we live with weak people. And it's easy to forget that He is our need meter, not them. Two things I want you to remember today. Two things I want you to remember this week: strong God and weak people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand here this morning. I realize you have lunches and things to go do, so I'm going to pray and allow you to rush out and go and do that. I know that in my heart of hearts. Thank you. God, we pray for this week. God, I pray that Christian Ministries Church this week will be a light in our communities, in our schools, in our jobs, in our friend circles. God, this church, this ministry, we just want to be a light for you. God, we want to make an impact everywhere that our footprint is left. God, help us to see you as our need meter. Help us to rely on you, because God, you are so strong. You're our salvation. You are our life. You are our rock. You are our consistency. God, help us to learn the stories of all the weak people that are around us. Help us to go into every room looking to be a vessel for the strong God. We thank you, God, that Christian Ministries Church this week is going to be a ministry in this community. In Jesus' name.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.